Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16. King Chittiketu meets the Lord, text number 37. Chitti Adibir Esha Kilabrata Saptabir Dasaguno Tarer Andha Kosha Yatra Patati Anukapa Sahanda Koti Kotibis Tat Ananta Chichadhibir Esakilavrata Saptabir Dasa Gunotarerandha Kosha. Oh, they cut it up, huh? It's one line. Saptabir Dasa Gunotarerandha Kosha. Yatra patat chanukalpa. Now he lost the meter. Sahanda koti koti vis taranta. Sitchadibir esa kilavrata. Saptibir dosa gunotararanda kasha. Yatra patat chanu kaupa Sahanda koti koti bis tarantaha.
Thank you.
Mataji's? Shitti Adibi, by the ingredients of the material world, headed by earth, Esha, this, Kila, indeed, Avrita, covered, Shaptabi, seven, Dasaguna Uttarai, each 10 times more than the previous one. Andakosha, egg-shaped universe. Yatra, in whom? Patati, falls. Anukalpa, like a minute atom, saha, with, under koti koti vi, millions of such universes, tat, therefore, ananta, you are called unlimited. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Every universe is covered by seven layers: earth, water, fire, air, sky, the total energy, and false ego, each 10 times greater than the previous one. There are innumerable universes besides this one, and although they are unlimitedly large, they move about like atoms in you. Therefore, you are called unlimited. Ananta, purport. The Brahma Samhita 5:48 says, Yaschaika nishvata kala athavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagar undanata vishnor mahan sriya yasya kala visesho govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. The origin of the material creation is Mahavishnu, who lies in the causal ocean while he sleeps. In that ocean, millions of universes are generated as he exhales, and they are all annihilated when he inhales. This Mahavishnu is a plenary portion of Vishnu Govinda, yasya kala vishesha. The word kala refers to a plenary portion of a plenary portion. From Krishna or Govinda comes Balaram. From Balaram comes Sankarshan. From Sankarshan, Narayan. From Narayan, the second Sankarshan. From the second Sankarshan, Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And from Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu. Kshiradakshay Vishnu controls every universe. This gives an idea of the meaning of Ananta, unlimited. What is to be said of the unlimited potency and existence of the Lord? This verse describes the coverings of the universe, Shaptabhir Dasa Guno Tarer Andakosha. The first covering is earth, the second is water, the third is fire, the fourth is air, the fifth is sky, the sixth is the total material energy, and the seventh is the false ego. Beginning with the covering of earth, each covering is 10 times greater than the previous one. Thus we can only imagine how great each universe is. And there are many millions of universes, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. 10:42. Atava bhunaitena kim gyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idankritsnam ekamshena tito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The entire material world manifests only 1/4 of the Supreme Lord's energy. Therefore, he is called Ananta. Om Jnanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurum Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krota Vachalam Pungan Lung Hayate Grim Yat Kripa Tarahum Bande Shikurum Dinataranam Vancha Kapa Tuyubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's pretty fascinating, this form of Mahavishnu. What we're experiencing right now, everyone in this universe and in all the universes, is Krishna's exhaling of this Mahavishnu. And when he inhales, as this mentions here, all the universes are destroyed. So what we're trying to do is avoid being still in the material world when he inhales. We don't want to do that. We want to get purified so that we can go back to the spiritual world and experience what we're meant to experience, is Satchit Ananda, eternality, knowledge, and bliss in the association of Krishna. Now, materialistic people, they hear this and they say, oh, this is Hindu mythology, this big form that universes are emanating from when he exhales. But actually, this is coming from an absolute source. The scientists, they'll admit that they make mistakes, but still, so many people are accepting their word as absolute truth. I met one student at the university one time, and he said, I don't have the faith that is needed in scientists to believe what they say. You had to have faith, you know, in the scientists to actually believe it. He just said, I just don't have the faith in the scientists. They're making so many mistakes. You know. But Krishna, he doesn't make mistakes. He's never made a mistake. So this is God. Kaving pranam anusasataram anur aniyangsan anusri. Sarvashyadataram achintirupam dityavaram tamasaparastat. Krishna, he knows everything. You know, actually, Krishna, in this verse, he says, this is how to think of me. He knows everything. He's very intelligent, inconceivably intelligent, just like the most intelligent person on the planet. Now he's got an IQ of 210. Imagine Krishna's IQ. Very high. Unlimitedly. Ananta. He's unlimitedly intelligent. Just like today is a very auspicious day. For two reasons. It's the advent of the Bhagavad Gita. About 5,000 years ago, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And it's not that Krishna, he had to study diligently to make a nice presentation of the Bhagavad Gita because, you know, this, you know, it's got to be good. You know? No, he just spoke it off the top of his head. And now, 5,000 years later, it's being studied in universities all over the world. And in another 100,000 years, 200,000 years, 300, 500,000 years, people will still be studying the Bhagavad Gita. Because when Krishna speaks, it's a very powerful message that people want to hear and to understand. Of course, to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, it's not an easy thing. One actually has to get the mercy of Krishna to understand the Bhagavad Gita. One actually has to follow the teachings. Kaving Pranam, he's the oldest person. Sri Sachi Prabhu was nicely explaining how no one worships Krishna. Oh, he's the oldest person, and we love the gray hairs on your face. Come, no, he's always very, very attractive, you know, very beautiful. And he is the controller. Krishna's controlling everything. Nothing moves without his sanction. And we want to be controlled by Krishna also. Either we're going to be controlled by Krishna, or we're going to be controlled by Maya. It's our choice. Now, if we're controlled by Krishna, then we're in very, very good hands. And if we're controlled by Maya, then we're going to get the kicks of the illusory energy. We'll have to suffer the kicks of the external energy. Kaving pranam manushasataram anor and a young song. So here we're hearing how great Krishna is. Yeah. Inconceivably great. Unlimitedly great. Millions of universes are emanating from his body when he exhales. This is inconceivable. Just like there's many devotees here that that dress the deities. Yeah? Imagine dressing this deity. Yeah? Imagine how big his earrings are, or his finger rings. Huge, inconceivable. His crown. He also has these decorations on this huge body. Very enormous body. But he's also smaller than the smallest. He goes into the atom, even. How many millions and trillions of atoms are there in this room here? Yeah. So he's everywhere. Anor and a young son, Anusmriya, Sarvashidataram, Achinti Rupam, that he's maintaining everyone. Like there's a saying. And Krishna, he gives and he gives and he gives and then he forgives. And we get and we forget. So this is the unfortunate situation. We should be grateful to Krishna that he's giving us so much. And the most wonderful thing that Krishna gives us is Bhagavad Gita. I was reading in a purport recently, Prabhupada, he said the most beautiful thing in the world is Bhagavad Gita. It's so beautiful. In my service of distributing books, one of my regulative principles is that I read Bhagavad Gita every day before I go out on book distribution. Because it gives such inspiration to distribute books. It's this very concentrated inspiration. A couple of weeks ago, I was distributing books at Moore Park College. And before I went out, I was reading one purport. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, if anybody is attached to the results of his activities in his service, then he is also either going to suffer or enjoy the results of that action. So I was meditating on that. And this is the problem, is that we're attached to the results of our work. See, the Prabhupada said two things go very deep in the heart. Attachment to the results and sex desire. These two are very difficult to remove from the heart. So I was meditating on this statement while I was distributing books, and I was praying to Krishna, please, Krishna, help me to become free of this attachment. Let me just do this for your pleasure. And that day, so many books were going out. I was like, wow. Just a change in consciousness, yeah. So then I started meditating on another statement in a purport, Srila Prabhupada. He says that if anybody is able to perform some action, some successful activity in devotional service, but does not give credit to Krishna, then he cannot do anything nicely, ultimately. Maybe for some time. So whatever ability we have to give that success from that activity to Krishna. So I was meditating on this. As the books were going out, 2 minutes after I was meditating on this little statement, one student came up and I was showing him the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, oh yeah, this is very interesting. I'd like to get one of these. So I asked for a donation. He said, yeah, sure. So he pulled out $5. He put it back, pulled out a $50 bill and gave it to me. I was shocked. I've been distributing books at universities for 14 years. This has never happened. That's a lot of money for a student. Yeah. So I was thinking, just see, this is reciprocation. Yeah. 95% of our ability to distribute books, actually to do any service, is in our consciousness. So this is why I always emphasize so much that we have to read Srila Prabhupada's books, not just the book distributors, but everybody. Srila Prabhupada, one time he said that we should minimum read 2 hours a day. Another time he said 1 hour, but somewhere in between there. Every day, we should read Srila Prabhupada's books. And this is not only an auspicious day because it's the advent of Bhagavad Gita, but it's also Ekadasi. It's interesting, he spoke it on Ekadasi, Bhagavad Gita. So this would be a very auspicious day to read the Bhagavad Gita, the whole Bhagavad Gita translation, at least. It'd be very inspiring for us. In the purport, in the 11th chapter, I forgot the number of the verse, Srila Prabhupada, he says, this verse is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, now let's see if I remember it. 11:55, yes. What's that verse? Huh? Kaving, no. Mat karma krin, mat parama. Mat bhakta, sangavardita, nirvaira sarabhutesu, yasamam iti pandava. Prabhupada says, this is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, that we have to work for Krishna. Everybody has to do something. So we have to work for Krishna, do our activities for Krishna. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement, prema dana vina vyarthe daridra jivan dasa kare vetana more deha prema dana. That if one does not have love for Krishna, then one is considered to be poverty-stricken. Daridra jivan. Sometimes we've heard this word, daridra narayan. Prabhupada always smash this. God cannot be poor. And anybody who's thinking that God is daridra narayan, he's daridra jivan. Poor soul. There's a lot of poor souls, daridra jivans, in the material world. So we're trying to become wealthy souls. And what does it mean to be a wealthy soul? It means to have love for Krishna. So this is actually a verse by Lord Chaitanya. In the last section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says those Shikshashtaka. So this verse is within those Shikshashtaka verses. And so he prays to the Lord, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. And all I want in return of this service is love for you. This is all I want. So devotees also have desire. We also have motive. But we're trying to become free of the material motives. Spiritual motives. We only want to have this one desire, which is to serve Krishna. This is the salary. This is the salary we want. Love for Krishna. Not an easy thing to achieve. But this is the highest achievement. Yeah. And this is the challenge. It's a big challenge to develop love for Krishna. Krishna doesn't give it easily. Because he's, as we've heard, he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. He's controlled by his devotees. So he's not going to be controlled by just anybody. He's going to be controlled by people who actually have a very sincere desire to serve him. So the Bhagavad Gita adventing today is very, I wasn't aware of that until I heard it this morning. It's a very nice, pleasant surprise. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's four verses that are considered to be the essence also of the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Slokis. Tesam evanu kamparatham aham agyanan jamtamaha. Nasam yamava bhava so gyani dipena vasavataha. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling within their hearts, destroy with a shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So this is the compassion of Krishna. He comes out of his compassion and he speaks the Bhagavad Gita. He comes in so many ways. He sends his pure devotees. And he gives us Krishna Prasadam, and he comes in the form of the Archa Vigraha. So this is the compassion of Krishna. So we should sincerely take advantage of this and we'll get purified. Yeah. Krishna is very kind. His kindness is also unlimited. Just like there's a statement in the Puranas of one rat that was on the altar. And somehow his whiskers got, he was near the fire and his whiskers caught on fire. And that lit another giwig nearby, and Krishna accepted that as an offering, left his body, went back to Vaikuntha. So this is the unlimited mercy of Krishna. The compassion of Krishna. And we're all here today because of the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Noda Thakur, they had so much compassion. They emphasized the importance of this message being given to everyone. Brihat Murdanga. So now we're very fortunate. We've inherited this mission, this compassionate mission of giving this knowledge out to others. And now we have this Gita Jayanti, we have this marathon to distribute lots of Bhagavad Gitas. 8,000? Minimum. Hopefully 10. So you gotta rev up. You gotta really pray to Krishna to empower you to distribute books. None of the full-time book distributors are gonna be here. So you gotta rise for the occasion. Bhrigupati is not here. Sati Tanoi, maybe he'll be here, maybe not be here. It's not working out as well as they thought it would in Miami. But this is a great opportunity to get this message out to the people of Los Angeles. They really need it. Yeah. Of course, it's needed everywhere. But Los Angeles is a very sinful place. I am especially very fond of the Bhagavad Gita because it actually is what brought me to Krishna consciousness. If you want, I can just tell you a little how I came. I grew up here in Los Angeles, and I was your average young nonsense, malecha, rascal, L.A. kid doing all nonsense. I was at a friend's house. And somehow this yogi came on television speaking about some spiritual subject matter. And I was listening to him. It sounded kind of interesting. So they left an address where you can go and find out more. So I went over and it was Transcendental Meditation. So I went over there and they were, also explaining more, it's kind of interesting. So they were selling mantras. So being ignorant kid that I was, not knowing any better, I bought a mantra, $120 for a two-syllable mantra, $60 a mantra there, pretty expensive. Srila Prabhupada, he would always smash this, He said, I could have also sold the Hare Krishna mantra. How much money I would have made. But no. He wanted to give this message out freely. So I was chanting this mantra, but it was actually good because it kind of helped me slow down a little bit, Passionate, youngster, you chant 15 minutes twice a day, this mantra. So it's good, kind of slow down and think about spiritual subject matters. And I started reading books on philosophy. And then I got a book by Baba Ram Dass. And that kind of also helped me a little bit. And then I decided to go traveling. I wanted to go to a place that was like a paradise where I can just go and I could do my meditation and my spiritual activities I just wanted to get away, so I left L.A. in this search. So as I was traveling, I was reading this book, I think it was Be Here Now. And in that book, he says that as one advances in spiritual life, one becomes very detached from material things, family, friends, society. And I thought, okay, that sounds good. So I'm traveling, and someone stole all my things. Right? So I'm thinking, okay, this is good. I couldn't give it up on my own, so somehow it was taken. So it's good. So I still had some money. So I thought maybe the Bahamas. So I went down to Miami and I flew over to the Bahamas and I was thinking, searching for some spiritual community. But it was terrible, horrible, so materialistic. I decided to leave the next day. But that day, before I left, someone stole all my money. So now I don't have anything but the clothes on my back. But I have my ticket and my passport. They left that. But you know that moment in my life was the most, up till then, it was the most ecstatic moment of my life, because I knew something is happening. Something special is happening in my life, and I'm not going back. So I was really feeling that God was doing something amazing. So then I flew back to Miami, not knowing where I'm going. I'm hitchhiking. Guy picks me up and says, where are you going? I don't know. Good question. So he suggested, why don't you go to Key West, get a job? You know, you're going to need some money. I said, all right, I'll accept that as God's direction. So I got a ride to Key West, got a job. Somehow I still had this book, though, by Baba Ram Dass. In the back of the book, he had books recommended to read. And one of those books was Bhagavad Gita. So that word, just Bhagavad Gita, just like stuck. Wow, this looks special. So I went to the library there in Key West, and I was in a dilemma. There was 5 Bhagavad Gitas. Now, which one? But Prabhupada's looked the most attractive. So I pulled out Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. I took it home, and I couldn't put it down. Of course, it's not the unabridged that we have now. It was the abridged. You know, it's about, I guess, about half the size. No Sanskrit. And some of the purports also weren't there. Prabhupada didn't like that. But it was enough for me. I couldn't put it down. I read the whole book in 3 days and following all the regular principles, chanting Hare Krishna, I had this job. Well, there was, I could just chant. There was nothing. Nobody was there. Nobody would think I was, you know, gone bonkers. I was just chanting Hare Krishna all day long at this job. And I was just like, wow, this is spirit. This is a mantra. This is a real mantra. I gave up the old mantra. And I was chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. It was just like so ecstatic. And I was reading Bhagavad Gita. And it was just like, I was reading. It's like, wow, this is it. Nothing can be higher than this. I was completely amazed by the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. So after 3 days of chanting and hearing Bhagavad Gita, I walked out of my workplace and devotees were having Harinam like 50 yards from the door where I walked out. So I walked over to him and said, hey, that's the same mantra I chant. He said, really, you chant Hare Krishna? Yeah, I chant Hare Krishna. So they preached to me for 2 hours, and that night I moved into the ashram. So Krishna just swept me up very quickly. Of course, it wasn't really a temple or a preaching center. It was just a few devotees that were trying to keep things, trying to associate with each other and, you know, keep something together in Krishna consciousness. And then they told me about the temple in Miami. And then, so they suggest you go to Miami, you go to the Bhakta program, you learn how to be a devotee. So I went there, and this is in Miami, this is 78, and they had 8 acres of land. 6 of those acres were flowers growing. So my first service was picking flowers. They had 100 mango trees. Picture that. We had mango cake, mango pie, mango ice cream, mango, you know, we had mango coming out of our ears. You know, it's like really good mangoes, too. And there was banana trees, all kinds of tropical trees, and there was a little lake there and chickies, and it was like there was peacocks and swans. Remember when I left L.A., I was looking for paradise? That was paradise. Closest that I've ever come to. So it was very. So that's how the Bhagavad Gita swept me up. So, and that's why I also mainly distribute Bhagavad Gita. This is my favorite book. Yeah. The best day I ever had in distributing Bhagavad Gita was at one concert in Tennessee. What was that called? Bonnaroo. Phew, couldn't believe it. At that time, I was staying in Atlanta, and the devotees from L.A. told me they were going to fly out there. And they somehow we got some contact and said, hey, why don't you come out too? I said, all right. So it was, I think it was 4 days of concert. So I thought, all right, maybe I'll do 50 books a day. You know? So I brought 200 Bhagavad Gitas. I was shocked. It was just so sweet. The first day I did 112, and I borrowed some more from other devotees. And next day I did 114 Bhagavad Gitas, collected over $1,200. It was just like, it was just so sweet. So many Bhagavad Gitas were going out. So sweet, amazing. So that was a very special. So maybe I'll stop there. Is there any question or comment? Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Share one story. You know, I told you, but when I was in, because it kind of parallels your search. It's a little high.
It's too high.
Yeah, bring this down. The first channel, just bring it down a little bit. I mentioned to you that when I was in Oslo, Norway in 96, because whenever I travel, I like to ask the devotees how they come to Krishna consciousness. So there was this Mana Marga. He was the top book distributor in Norway at the time. So he told me that he came through L.A. Same thing. He was from a wealthy family, and he was searching, just like you were as a kid. Couldn't find anything. So he said, I'm going to go to Tahiti. He said, if I don't find what I want here, I'm going to just go to Tahiti and just stay there, paradise, like you were looking for. So he couldn't find anything in Norway that, you know, enlivened him. So he did. He got a ticket to Tahiti, and he came through L.A. And he said, I bought a book from a devotee. I don't know who it was. And I flew to Tahiti, got the Bhagavad Gita. He read it, and he turned around and went back to Norway and became a devotee. So I asked him to describe the devotee, who it was, and it was you.
Krishna's mercy. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Vijay Prabhu. Thank you for wonderful class.
Thank you.
One interesting story how one devotee in Russia joined. Someone convinced him that Bhagavad Gita is an interesting book on Eastern philosophy, so out of curiosity he bought it, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and started reading it, and then he came across the passage where Prabhupada speaks about vegetarian lifestyle, and that devotee, he was at the time convinced meat eater. He was eating meat like 3 times a day or something like that, and he said, oh, this is not for me, you know, this is complete nonsense. I'll never be a vegetarian. And so he put Bhagavad Gita away, and he went to the kitchen, he cooked himself meat, and he ate it, and then he vomited it. And he thought, maybe I got sick or something like that, so anyway, he cooked again meat. He ate the meat again, he vomited again. And no matter how many times he tried, it was happening to him. And so then, you know, it dawned on him, he cannot eat meat anymore. But, you know, if he won't eat anything, he will die. So he understood, okay, I have to be vegetarian now. But he had no idea how to be vegetarian. So he went to the market, he bought cucumbers. Because this is what he was thinking vegetarian is, you know, like eating one type of vegetable or something. So he was eating only cucumbers for a few days, but then he realized, no, it doesn't take me anywhere. So I have to, you know, find these people and find out how they survive being vegetarians. And so he went, he found the temple, and then of course devotees gave him prasadam, and he said, wow, my God, like that I can live very nicely. And then from this point onwards, he became a devotee. So this is the power of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita.
Jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Sachit Noi Prabhu.
Thank you for a very inspiring class. Since today is the day of the Bhagavad Gita, I also feel inspired to tell some personal experience. We don't really want to talk about ourselves in this, but the story is like that. So also myself, I came because of the Bhagavad Gita. First book that I ever met was the Bhagavad Gita. A devotee gave Bhagavad Gita to me. It was very compassionate, very bold. It brought me to the temple. It was not just satisfied by giving me the Bhagavad Gita.
From
but
the
actually,
airport, right?
Yeah, the airport. So I was traveling from Canada to San Francisco going to Acapulco. That's my home. So anyway, canceled my whole flight. He said, you can cancel your flight. And I was thinking, what? I never met a person that bold, cancel your flight. What for? He says, well, you know, we have a nice center, a lot of children at that time. We dance, we read philosophy, nice community. I said, well, okay, if I decide to stay, how much would you charge me every day? She said, no, no charge. I said, no charge? Yeah, okay. So I came, I joined. I read Bhagavad Gita that same night. And purposely I told them, I said, you know, because at that time, you know, they told me the schedule at 3 o'clock. I said, that's the time when I go to bed. They're asking me to actually get up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 3:30. So please, just to, you know, make up, let me, for today, I'm going to read the Bhagavad Gita and then I'll follow the program the next day. So I was reading the whole Bhagavad Gita at night when I went to sleep. Prabhupada appeared in my dream and he said, do not worry about anything, I take care of you. And that was it. So I never left since then. So that's the glory of Bhagavad Gita. And just a convincing, just the introduction itself of the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes it's just that. If you just read the introduction, it has everything too. Prabhupada explains beautifully there. And just another story about this is, I was in Santa Monica College. And there was one young boy who told me, when I approached him with the book, he says, you know, I'm trying to get out of religion and you're approaching me with another religious book. No, I don't want anything. So then I said, well, why are you trying to get out of your religion's experience? And then he started telling me so many things. It's a long talk. So anyway, I tried to answer back carefully because I'm thinking, you know, it's not good. Whatever religion he said, I just want you to continue. Just keep going. Don't leave. But anyway, so I answered back and he was satisfied. He said, you know, actually I read the book. I read the four slokas of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, it sounds like the same God as my Bible is here. I said, yes, it's the same God. There's no different God. It's the same God for every religion. So then I was offering him the Bhagavad Gita. And then he said, I'm afraid. I said, why? And then I read the book, the verse of the Tesane Vanu Kampartan Aham Agyana Yantama Nasaya Amyama Vahastu Gyana Dipena Vashata, where Krishna says that he resides in the heart and he enlivens, he gives light to the devotee out of compassion. And then he said, okay, I'll take the book. So that was the Bhagavad Gita. And from that time, he said, you know, if I lie the book, I will never leave the religions, because he was trying to get out of some religious group. So that's the story of the Bhagavad Gita that hopefully he reads it.
Jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.